You're listening to episode number 86 of The Green Elephant in the Room. This is your host, Eco Rico, and I'm asking a question. What do you think is the most common form of human infrastructure in the world? Not only does it cover vast tracts of the Earth's surface, it is virtually invisible. Worldwide, our wild lands are laced with countless stretches of fences. Recent estimates suggest that the total length of all fencing around the globe is 10 times greater than the total length of roads. If our planet's fences were stretched end to end, they would likely bridge the distance from Earth to the Sun multiple times. From the western United States to Mongolia to Africa, fences are going up rapidly as border barriers and livestock farming increases. On every continent, from cities to rural areas, and from ancient to modern times, humans have built fences. But we know almost nothing about their ecological effects. Border fences are often in the news, but other fences are so ubiquitous that they disappear into the landscape, becoming scenery rather than subject. The impact of fences on wildlife and the environment they crisscrossed has been largely ignored. However, there has been more interest recently in a new discipline, fence ecology, that is revealing a world that has been utterly reorganized by a rapidly growing latticework of fences. Now, a growing number of studies are exposing the impact of these fences, from impeding wildlife migrations to increasing the genetic isolation of threatened species. They are disrupting wildlife and ecosystems on an unprecedented scale. If fences seem like an odd thing for ecologists to study, consider that until recently, no one thought much about how roads affected the places around them. Then, in a burst of research recently, scientists showed that roads, which have also been a part of human civilization for millennia, had narrow footprints but produced enormous environmental effects, most notably how they opened up previously undisturbed areas to exploitation. For example, roads can destroy or fragment habitats that wild species rely on to survive. They also promote air and water pollution and vehicle collisions with wildlife. This work generated a new scientific discipline, road ecology. And now with the study of fence ecology, they are offering unique insights into the startling extent of humanity's reach. The good news is, when the effects of road and now fences on the natural world were identified and named, it changed the way people perceive them and helped bring attention to how critical roads and fences are in conservation planning. Examples from around the world demonstrate fences' powerful and often unintended consequences. The U.S.-Mexican border wall, most of which fits into our definition of a fence, has genetically isolated populations of large mammals, such as bighorn sheep, leading to population declines and genetic isolation. It even has a surprising effect on birds, like pygmy owls, that fly low to the ground. We all know the roadrunner, right? Beep beep! It flies about as well as a chicken. That's why they call it a roadrunner. It runs, it doesn't fly, and it cannot easily cross these 30-foot or 10-meter barriers. Here is a tragic example of these impacts that happened at Trump's southern border wall last year. Hundreds of wild animals, including frogs, shrews, tarantulas, snakes, and cuckoos, were killed in a wildfire in Texas last summer after becoming trapped behind the concrete border wall. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service found scores of burned animals against a mile-long stretch of the border wall last August after a wildfire in the lower Rio Grande Valley, which is a national wildlife refuge and a federally protected area. One official said the concrete border wall impeded the escape of wildlife from the fire, which swept through the long grass, rapidly scorching about 1,500 acres thanks to high winds and dry conditions. This is a heartbreaking example of the impact the border wall can have on wildlife movement, especially in an emergency situation like this. Flooding around these barriers has also created equally fatal wildlife casualties. This horrifying account of animals being burned alive while trapped by a border wall is just the latest proof that border barriers are death traps for wildlife. We are fearful that this will only become a more common story as climate change progresses. All around the globe, fencing is hugely impeding ancient wildlife migrations. Fencing is so extensive, it not only alters wildlife patterns in certain regions, but can also impact entire continents. A rapid expansion of the number of fences in wildlife-rich East Africa has blocked the storied migration of wildebeest in the greater Mara region of Kenya, where the animals need to follow the rains to find food and water. Some are dying for lack of water. Another sad example is bighorn sheep, jaguars, and ocelots in Latin America are cut off from others of their own kind on the opposite sides of these fences. This means that the genetic interaction needed to keep small populations healthy is being affected. It also means that these creatures may not be able to migrate north to escape a hotter and drier climate. A new fence between Mongolia and China has blocked the movement of gazelles. Recently on that border, a Mongolian gazelle was satellite tracked for 20 days along a fence as it covered 30 miles, about 50 kilometers, trying to find a place to cross. And the list goes on. There is indisputable evidence that wildlife numbers have dramatically decreased with the increase in fencing. It's truly a global tragedy. Recent research shows that these impacts extend far beyond blocking animal migration routes and include furthering disease transmission by concentrating animals, altering the hunting practices of predators, and impeding access to key areas of water and forage. Fences may also prevent genetic rescue if an isolated population is decimated by disease or a natural disaster. Even good fences that are designed to protect threatened species or restore sensitive habitats can still fragment and isolate ecosystems. For example, fences constructed in Botswana to prevent disease transmission between wildlife and livestock have stopped migrating wildebeest in their tracks, producing haunting images of injured and dead animals strewn along fence lines. Our final flagrant example is the longest fence in the world. Actually, it's a series of fences that dominate and split the entire Australian continent. The first fence built by the Aussies was completed in 1907, and at 1,200 miles, about 1,800 kilometers, it was the longest structure on Earth. Its official name was the Number 1 Rabbit Proof Fence. As the name implies, the fence was first built as a barricade against the plague of rabbits that were an introduced species from Europe, and it had bred, well, like rabbits. With lack of natural predators to keep them in check, their numbers swelled into the hundreds of millions. The fence was effective to a degree because they ate everything on one side, allowing them to starve en masse on the other. However, by funneling the advancing rabbits into holding yards, where they died, the fence acted like a giant net. The rabbits, however, climbed over parts of the fence. How? As they pushed relentlessly westward, they climbed over the dead bodies of the other rabbits piled high against the wire and swarmed across. Other staggering long fences Australians built were dingo fences, built to protect sheep from the nation's iconic canines. The longest one stretches more than 3,500 miles, or 5,600 kilometers. As one of the longest structures in the world, the dingo fence has one job: to keep dingoes out. The effect of this on the environment has been enormous, a scale so vast you can see it from outer space. You see, dingoes eat kangaroos, and kangaroos eat grass. So on the side of the fence where the dingoes are rare, there are more kangaroos and less grass cover between the sand dunes. Here is the fascinating impact that was unexpected. These fences have started an ecological chain reaction called trophic cascades that have affected the entire continent's ecology. On the other side of the fence, there are now two distinct ecological universes. It seems that this man-made barrier is indirectly affecting local weather patterns across the continent. There is now a stark contrast on either side of the wiry fence that only stands 3 feet tall, or about a meter high. Incredible as it seems, rainfall has increased east of the fence and decreased west of the fence. Thus, the native vegetation in the east enjoys a consistent natural water supply, while the farmers in the west must increasingly rely on irrigation to grow food for their livestock. Here is one possible reason for these changes. The shallow-rooted crop plants in the farmed areas don't transpire as much water as the more deeply rooted native vegetation that naturally creates more moisture for the formation of rain clouds. A change like this is so large it can't be seen from the ground. However, with satellite mapping, it is obviously clear. One side are thick rain clouds, on the other, along the sharp dividing line of the fence, it is totally clear skies. You almost have to see it to believe it. And we have included information and the startling images on the Green Elephant webpage. So, what is the resolution to fix the fence dilemma that is reshaping entire global ecosystems? Let's face a futile fact. Fencing is not going anywhere, and sadly, it is just expanding. However, recent research by fence ecologists have come up with multiple and valuable ideas. One major solution is to change the design of the fence. Fences separate mothers from calves, exclude herds from prime habitat, and exhaust and injure animals. Many large hooved animals display scarring from trying to get under fences, and often that can get infected, resulting in a slow, painful death. There is plenty of evidence to identify actions that could reduce these harmful impacts. For example, wildlife biologists are experimenting with designs that have a smooth top wire about hip high, low enough for jumpers like elk, deer, and moose to go over, and a smooth bottom wire about knee high, which is high enough for pronghorn as well as calves of other larger animals to slide under without being injured. Another design that is proving to be effective are wildlife crossings. They give animals accessible and safe crossing opportunities. The largest one in the world will be opening later this year outside of Los Angeles. This one crosses over a very busy multi-lane highway, which in reality to wildlife is an extremely dangerous and often fatal high-speed living fence. The Walter Annenberg Wildlife Crossing is thoughtfully designed to provide safe passage for wolves, mountain lions, as well as other animals like coyotes, bobcats, rabbits, snakes, and toads, which are all hemmed in by development. While these ideas are promising, the sheer scale of fencing globally presents a daunting challenge for wild animals. The next time you look at a so-called invisible fence, think about the impacts caused by the many millions of miles of barriers around the globe that slice and dice the natural world that is a rapidly growing problem as fence projects expand worldwide. As usual, we give a lot more information and detail, including pictures and videos, on the Green Elephant webpage. Most of the topics addressed in this podcast are solution-oriented, with a focus on what you, the individual, can accomplish with others to take back our living planet. Speaking of which, the Green Elephant has designed a comprehensive online encyclopedia of eco-solutions. A Call to Act is where you will discover hundreds of established groups and organizations and eco-activities where you can be part of shaping our positive climate future. You will find links to everything in the podcast show notes.